This is the show that pulls back the industry curtain. We're exploring pop culture, music icons, and food gods. It's the Jeremiah Show, and he's your radio host. And now, back from a race around the sun, Jeremiah Higgins.
It's the Jeremiah Show and Evolve Entertainment, featuring It's Radio with TV's Tim Stack. Mike Gormley presents Music Icons, The Arwen Lewis Show, and The Angel Baby Show.
Get that last one? No. Okay, this is Q1. One, two, three, four. I want to know why I'm so red in this whole thing right here. Do I look red to you guys? I might pass
pink.
Out. Pink.
You look pink. Very pink.
Very. Yeah. I'm not pointing at my skin tone. I'm giving you answers of why you look so red.
It looks like my thumb. Like,
everybody seems to have spray tan now, so maybe it's too much bronzer.
Yeah. Yo, Lou. Yo. Yeah, it's crazy, bro. You're crazy, right?
How about that? A little bit.
You're crazy. I like that.
I thought the pink was a nice shade.
Serenity now.
He said you were doing blackface. Like,
I think I'm matching my pink microphone here.
Jeremiah. I'm going to be honest. You look really good this year. You look great. You look fit. You look great. Your hair looks amazing. I'm going to be honest.
That's
the hair under the hat.
Oh, that was a real thing.
Oh, you were talking to Jeremiah. My fault.
Yeah. See, there's no controlling this group at all. I'm going to just start the show. We're already in it. This is the Thanksgiving show, the ninth annual Thanksgiving show here on the Jeremiah Show. And of course, Big Lou, it wouldn't be Thanksgiving without Big Lou joining me. We've been doing this for 9 years now, Big Lou. Good to see you, my friend.
And yeah, good to see you. It's been a long, long, tough year for me, but you know, I'm very grateful to still be here and to celebrate with good people like everyone that's here on the show today. So happy Thanksgiving to everybody that's on the show with us now, and to everyone that's going to be listening and seeing this, happy Thanksgiving to you all.
Yeah, well said, Corin Nemec. Hold on 1 second here. So Corin is joining us from where? Florida?
Yes, outside of St. Pete.
Outside of St. Pete, Florida, and that's where you live, huh?
Yeah. About a 3 minute drive from the beach, just like I like it.
You know what did I just say your last name wrong, Corin? Is it Nemec?
Nemec is fine. Nemec. It's been mispronounced since my family first landed on Ellis Island, so.
Well, wait till he gets to me, Corin. You'll have some solidarity. I'm sure he'll get my name wrong.
Yeah, too. I'm going to mess up every single one of you.
I'm so sorry, both of you, but I think my name is going to take the cake. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry to everyone else. Thank you. Thank you.
Well, Jeremiah. I guess Big Lou's the only one who's getting off scot free here.
Big Lou, I can do that one. I can do that.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see how the show goes.
That's an airplane. This could be.
Is that Camilla Cleese flying in there, Andres?
Actually, it's helicopters.
All right. So, Corin, he's an actor, he's a producer, a writer, a graffiti artist. I didn't know this about him.
Oh, that's my work right behind me.
Oh, is that? Hey, there we go. That's right behind. Check it out on YouTube. Beautiful artwork. What are we showing there? What kind of art you got happening behind you, Corin?
This is just in my man cave. I just painted the inside of the garage wall. I have a little office off to the other side over there. So this side, I'm decorated all the way across with just some traditional sort of fun, vibrant graffiti with some flowers and stuff, and give it a little bit of a nature feel. But, it's fun. Good times.
I'm liking
an adventure.
I'm liking it. Well, you're also a traveling man. What does that mean? You just love to travel?
I do. I travel often, as a matter of fact. Yep.
Well, you got a new movie coming out, Dead Man's Hand. I can't wait to see it. It looks like it's everybody that's in Yellowstone, which that I'm sold, man. I'm there. Tell us a little bit about the movie real quick.
Well, Dead Man's Hand, I did a film with Brian Skiba, who's the director and the co-writer on it, along with myself. We did a film together years ago that I produced with him. I didn't produce on Dead Man's Hand. I was just the co-writer on it. I wrote the initial script. And but we did a film called Rotten Tale that was based on a graphic novel by the same company, Source Point Press, that published Dead Man's Hand. And it's a horror comedy about a scientist who gets bitten by a rabid bunny in his lab while he's working on a fertility serum. And he ends up turning into a half man, half rabbit, a la The Fly. And it's a very bizarre film. But that said, we had a great time. And when we circled back with Source Point years later, they wanted to do one of their Westerns and from their graphic novel collection. And this was one of them. It's a great one. It's a 3-part series. I don't know if I'll write any more after this, but I had a great time writing the initial draft based on the graphic novel. It was, we were under a lot of financial constraints to get that movie made, as anybody can imagine, but I think it turned out good. It's a nice, classic approach to a Western.
Nice. When can we see it?
It's available now. It's been out for a while. You can find it all over the place. It's got, I don't even know which platform. It was on Amazon. It was on the Apple. It was on every platform, you know? So
that's what you do on Thanksgiving to make sure that Corin can come back and do the next 2 parts. Go and support it. Well, welcome, man. Good to have you here. I know you're going to be on next week. We're going to talk all about the movie a little bit more in depth. I want to welcome also Tehran. I did it right, Tehran.
You said Tehran right. The Tehran part, you're close enough that I'm not.
What were you worried about?
You don't even need to say the last name. Just don't even get to the last name. Just let it go. Just
what is it?
Von Gosry. Von Gosry.
Von Gosry is a very good one. There you go. Corin had it. I appreciate that so much. Thank you for having me, Jeremiah. You know I'm a huge fan of both your show, your restaurantness, because if I remember correctly, you're 30 years into restaurants right now, right? Or no?
Closing in on 40, but not counting at all.
I found that out last year.
You say you're a fan of the show. What's the last one you listened to last Thanksgiving?
No, the last one I listened to was actually you had I used to get into the sports lounge because I would make my picks based on who you guys would choose, just to let you know.
That's not my show though. That's Big Lou.
I know that's Big Lou's show, but you were on it. You were on it a lot. You know what I'm saying? But
no.
Yes, he was.
But the last one, but yeah, he was. I know he was because honestly, his picks were always the worst. They always lost me money. But whatever, we're not talking about that.
Yeah, I don't know anything about football.
And Jeremiah's show, actually, I'll tell you the one that I actually stick out and I actually support a lot is when you had John Cleese on, because as a comedian, John Cleese, who Camilla's going to be here, that's her dad. But the John Cleese one, you actually have one of the best interviews with John Cleese because you got to like some real stuff. People usually, he just like says a lot of jokes, but you get to a lot of real stuff. So just to let you know, but that's probably the last one. I do listen to Sports Lounge. Big Lou knows what you're talking about.
Well, you know, the Sports Lounge hasn't been on for 6 months, but I'm not going to.
I know it hasn't. And that's this year. I haven't had anything this year. That was my go-to during COVID. That was my go-to.
COVID, that was like 2 years ago.
Hey.
I'm going back because of the tomato color of my face, and you made fun of me. So I'm just
more raspberry than tomato. Back.
Either way, delicious. You look good.
He looks tasty. Yeah. You need some whipped cream.
Yeah, I do.
Whoa, this is taking a turn, guys. This is taking a turn.
Did you say pasties? I need pasties.
Pasties and whipped cream is the last thing I heard.
Change the subject. Are you still at the Laugh Factory every Thursday at 10?
Every Thursday, Tehran Thursdays at the Laugh Factory when I'm in town. Definitely there. Either way, it's still my show. It's the funnest show in Los Angeles, according to Entertainment Weekly. So definitely come check it out.
You are hilarious. I look forward to talking to you and listening to your podcast all the time as well.
I appreciate you.
Andras Jones, how you doing over there, my friend? Are you watching the planes come in today?
Yeah, and I just want to avoid the cross examinations. I'm not a fan. I never listen.
No. Thank you.
But I love you. I appreciate you, and I love being a guest. But I don't have any sports betting going on. So unfortunately, I can't make use of the sports lounge. Although it sounds like a very welcoming place. You know, you invited me here to be your curmudgeon. So I'm doing my best to just start off on the wrong foot, and we'll just stay on that one throughout.
Curmudgeon for all seasons. That's a good album by Andras.
Yeah, Jones. But there's no season like the one that began with the end of Halloween and ends sometime after the first week of January to bring out the curmudgeon in those of us who have that strain in our constitution.
Well, you know what Andras likes to talk about, guys? If you have any questions about Nightmare on Elm Street.
Oh, no, I love to talk about Synchronicity. I have to talk about Nightmare on Elm Street. So lay it on.
Every time Andras comes on, I start talking about Nightmare, and he's like, oh, my God, I've answered every question I'm ever going to answer about Nightmare. So if you got your questions for Andras, because I've run out of them.
You know, one of my favorite Nightmare on Elm Street, I got to say, because I'm a huge fan of Nightmare on Elm Street. But my favorite Nightmare on Elm Street was the one, I forget which one it was, but it was filmed at Venice High School, which is my alma mater.
That's the fourth one.
That's the one he's in.
That's the one I'm in. Go. Yeah, I played Rick, the karate guy. I ran down the hall, and yeah, there's a whole scene where I'm running down the hall like a madman. Yeah. Everyone makes the jokes about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was my first day on a legit set. In like I had moved out to LA about 2 years before, and I'd done some like low budget things. But the first day of shooting on Nightmare was that, and I just remember I was so excited. They had locks at the craft surfaces, and I was like, I've made it.
All right, so we're all let me
that Nightmare on Elm Street. I have to say real quick, Dizzle. That Nightmare on Elm Street was filmed at a classic film location, which, you know, Grease 1 and 2 were both filmed at Venice High School. So that is the famous Rydell High from Grease. I just want to put that out there. Shout out to young John Travolta.
Really? It was in Grease? Tell me more.
Lama, shoot to shoot.
Thursdays, I'll be there.
Okay. Thursdays at the Laugh Factory. All right, Arwin Lewis, we saved the best for last. Arwin is a singer, a songwriter. You come from a big artistic family, but you don't want me to mention it, do you?
I mean, I don't care.
I'm just kidding. Your dad is Peter Lewis, Moby Grape, the 60s iconic rock band. Grandma was Loretta Young. She won an Oscar. Do you have that Oscar anywhere, Arwin?
We had it, and then we gave it back to my sister. Yeah. Or no, my dad's sister-in-law. Rightfully, it actually belongs to us. Oh, I'll get into it.
Yeah. Arwin has a radio show as well. So, Andras, I think you're coming on her show very soon here.
Yeah, to talk about my new record. And I'm looking forward to that.
Next year, do you got a title for it yet,
Andras? Yeah, Recognize, De-escalate, and Decode is the name of the record.
Well, we're playing No Sense of Humor.
Excellent. Yeah, that's a song that's on the record that I have a video out for with Andy Dick in it, with me screaming in his face, which is kind of a massive reversal in our relationship.
That's funny. I've known Andy since the early 90s.
He used to crash in my place back when I was the more successful actor. He just moved out from Chicago. He got kicked out of his place, and he stayed with me for like 6 months, and eventually, as anyone who's known Andy for any time knows, that 6 months is a massive amount of time to spend with him. And I did have to kick him out over a disagreement over a boombox. But years later, when he became famous, all he remembered was that I had put him up, and he has done me so many generous solids. He is a tragic figure. An incredibly brilliant figure, but in I love to tell people about him because no one hears this about him. He's also a tremendously loyal friend. He's also an impossible nightmare to be friends with, but to the extent of who he is a really a great friend, has been a great friend to me. And I make fun of him all the time because he deserves it. But I also, his public persona is pure, which is part of his pure genius. Anyway, I was great. It was great to have him in this video called Absolutely No Sense of Humor that people think is about him, but it's about another comedian entirely. Anyway, I'm sorry to have hijacked. Let's go get back to Arwen and what you were saying, Jeremiah.
Well, Arwen, she does not follow football. And as you can tell, I don't follow it very well either, except when I listen to the Sports Lounge.
I do know difference between a quarterback and a wide receiver and a linebacker.
That's a good start.
And a touchdown.
What do you think? That's a good start.
Well, I have to ask this. Of those three positions you named, which one is on defense?
The linebacker. Right?
Okay. I was getting a little worried there for a second. Okay, good. We're going to stop right there. We're going to keep while we're ahead. Go ahead, Jeremiah. Got it. Well,
I'm gonna toss it to you, Lou, but I was going to ask of all of the group here, I don't think, Andres, are you a very big sports fan?
I'm a huge baseball fan, but I'm a one sport person, but I am from Washington, so I have just a natural inclination to be happy when the Huskies are doing well. I'm glad to hear that that's the case.
Hey, Big Lou's showing you his sweat. His shirt.
I saw. I was like, okay, this is great. Some solidarity.
I really took it into consideration, I would have brought my helmet out that I actually wore while I played at Washington, and it's a very old helmet now. Those helmets are pretty much illegal.
It's leather. It's leather. No face.
Almost. Pretty close. Pretty close. I'm very excited. Like, Washington's having an amazing season this year, and we have a great opportunity to do something once again that I was fortunate to be a part of when I was at Washington, which is go undefeated and win a national championship. So hopefully, the Dawgs can stay the course. We have a tough Pac-12 championship matchup against University of Oregon once again, and Bo Nix, and the guy is playing out of his mind right now. I mean, you have to give credit where credit is due. He's going to have an amazing NFL career, God willing, obviously, barring injury, which is the thing with all of these guys in that case. But Washington's quarterback, Michael Penix, is having an amazing season as well. And we can only look forward to him continuing that against University of Oregon. And, we're fortunate enough to get into the college playoffs.
What was the quarterback's name again?
At Washington?
Yeah.
Michael Penix Jr.
Oh, Penix. I thought you said Michael Panix. That's a bad name for a quarterback. But Michael Penix is great.
Penix. P-E-N-I-X.
Yes. Also could be open yourself up to, I'm sure he got made fun of until he had his growth spurt.
All right.
That happened to a lot of people.
Little Michael Penix.
Big Lou Penix.
I don't know if they said Penix. I don't feel like elementary school kids said Penix.
Put the Penix in your pants.
His name in sex ed? His name during sex ed? Listen, this is why he's so good in football. He had to learn how to knock people down. Let's be very honest. Kids are brutal.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Listen, I can neither confirm nor deny, but that definitely doesn't make sense.
He was Michael Penis until the ninth grade. Let's be very honest. Yeah. He was Michael Penis. Oh,
at least. I mean, ain't no telling what they call him in Washington. Those guys are a bunch of jokesters up there for sure as well. That said, Turkey Day football.
Well, hold my on favorite day of football. Big Lou. Hold on. I want to properly. Hold on 1 second. I'm going to turn it all over to you right now. I want to introduce you properly. We got to do it on the other side of the break, though. Okay, we got to take a real quick commercial break, and I just want to remind everybody: this is the 9th annual Thanksgiving show. We're about to talk turkey and football with Big Lou and a special guest today, Corin Nimick. He's an actor, producer, writer, and a graffiti artist. Very, very good artist there.
And I do jazz hands when I'm uncomfortable.
Jazz hands. You can find him on Instagram at I'm Corin Nimick. Hey, Ron, he's back for our fourth year. He corrected me, not his third. He's our favorite Thanksgiving comedian and actor. He's at the Laugh Factory every Thursday in LA at 10 p.m. Go to iamtehran.com and on Instagram, same, iamtehran. Andras Jones, he's a writer, actor, musician, producer, podcaster, Radio 8 Ball, The World Is Wrong, and he's a curmudgeon for all seasons. Go to previouslyyours.com and check out his latest single coming up in a couple breaks here, No Sense of Humor, starring Andy Dick. Camilla Cleese just text me, guys. They are landed, but they're still on the plane. So she, hopefully she'll join us. Camilla Cleese and her father, John Cleese, just landed back in LA. Welcome back, guys, from the tour. They were on tour. It's called An Evening with the Late John Cleese. You can see her on Instagram at Camilla Cleese and on YouTube. Arwen Lewis is here. She's a singer, songwriter, and a guitarist. She's the host of The Arwen Lewis Show. She inhabits our blue planet, but her beliefs belong in the celestial realm. She's the daughter of Peter Lewis. And you can go find her on Instagram at The Arwen Lewis Show, at OMAD Records, and arwenlewismusic.com. And next up, the host of the show, Big Lou, host of the Sports Lounge with Big Lou Radio, and CEO of Holy Fit 310 on Instagram at Holy Fit 310. He's a personal trainer and ISSA certified, 20 plus years of training. We're going to be right back talking about Turkey Day football. Stay with us.
Town. Who flips out if you call him a clown? He's got absolutely no sense of humor about the word clown. So if you see him clowning around, don't make the mistake of calling him a clown. Even under your breath when he's not around. He might chase you down the street outside of Obsidian. That's right. Shouting and threatening, man, he won't be kidding. And when it happens to you, I believe that it's true, 'cause it happened to me.
Like to watch? Subscribe to The Jeremiah Show on YouTube. Welcome back to the Jeremiah Show, the ninth annual Thanksgiving show. Got some great friends here that are joining us. Corin Nimick, Tehran, Andras Jones, Camilla Cleese on the plane. She'll be on the way. Arwen Lewis, and now the host of the show. Going to talk about football, huh, Big Lou? He's the host of the Sports Lounge with Big Lou and the CEO of Holy Fit. Welcome, Big Lou.
Man, you know what? It's always a pleasure to be here. Happy Turkey Day. Happy Turkey Day to everyone that's on the panel with me today, that's watching, that's listening. You know, this is one of my favorite days of the year out of the 365 that we have, potentially 366 if it's leap year. Let me put that out there anyway. Okay. it's my favorite day because I can be lazy, eat as much food as I want, and I get football. It's a great combination for me. So for all you NFL fans, you will be treated to a juicy triple header on Thanksgiving, which is today. So be excited for that. We got three games that are going to be featured going on today to open up for us. We will have the Green Bay Packers taking on the Detroit Lions. That is a 9:30 West Coast time, 12:30 East Coast or Eastern time kickoff. That game will be on Fox. And I just want to say, from my own perspective, Detroit Lions are having an amazing season this year. I wonder if Sean McVay and the Rams are kicking themselves for getting rid of Jared Goff. I have no idea, but Jared Goff is having a great season this year. Green Bay, not so much, but again, it is Turkey Day. Funny things happen on Thanksgiving for football. Second game to follow up in the afternoon for us today will be the Washington Commanders versus the Dallas Cowboys. Dallas Cowboys, biggest brand in football, globally speaking. And again, they're having a great season this year as well. But with it being a divisional game, Commanders and the Cowboys, anything can happen in the divisional game. That game will kick off at 4:30 Eastern, 1:30 Pacific. And I got to be honest with you, I've never really been a Cowboys fan, so I'm actually rooting for the Commanders to go ahead and knock them off. And for any of you fantasy football enthusiasts out there, that's another one of my reasons as well. To cap off our Thanksgiving Day football schedule, San Francisco 49ers, go Christian McCaffrey, and the Seattle Seahawks. I am partial to the Seahawks, living in Seattle for 10 years, but right now we're kind of having a tough go of it over these last few weeks. But again, very competitive the Seahawks are, and I look for that to be a great game to cap off our turkey night tonight to watch some football. I don't know if you're anything like me. I'm probably going to be yawning and in and out of nods because I would have eaten so much turkey and ham and mashed potatoes and gravy. Who knows what part of the game I'm going to see. Don't really care. It'll be on. I can hear it. That's most important to me. I want to turn to my panel real quick. I know Arwen was saying she knew a couple of the positions, so I want to get Arwen's take because I do like to bet on football every now and then. So I just want to know, Arwen, Green Bay Packers, Detroit Lions, who are you taking? I don't care why. I just want to know who you pick.
I'm going to go with the Detroit Lions because Detroit's Rock City.
Rock City?
Yeah.
Detroit Rock City. Perfect. Perfect. Andre, who you got?
You're muted, buddy.
Sorry, there was a plane going over. I wanted to save you from that. So I only know slightly more about football than Arwen, I think. So let me just clarify something. The Green Bay Packers are still like owned, like sort of in a cooperative way, as opposed to with like sort of a mega corporation thing. There's some.
Yes.
Okay. As an actor who is still sort of straddling the line of being on strike and feeling a sense of solidarity, I'm going to go with the Green Bay Packers.
I like your reason for the choice, but that's probably not going to go well for you.
I'm not a betting man, so there'll be no money on it.
That's okay. We're just having fun with it.
Yeah. For me, oddly enough, I was in a silly breakdancing crew back in the 80s called the Gumbies, the bendy, they bend and twist and all the things, you know. And so we always wore Green Bay Packers stuff as our like green and the letter G, and we were again, we'd be dancing. So we would kind of like crew up, you know what I mean? And go and getting dance offs at the local spots and whatnot. So I have to go with Green Bay just because it's sentimental to me. Makes me want to go and, you know, do a backspin.
I love it. We're giving such great sports advice, but
we have to. We had picked this Rob, what about you?
Well, I love how everyone's picking it based on the color of their underwear or what t-shirt they wore in high school, whatever it is. I'm gonna have to go with Arwen here. The Detroit Lions are 8-2, and I think the Packers are 4-6 and haven't scored more than 20 points this whole season. If anyone does come in and play well in the cold, it is the Packers. But I just don't think that this is the year that they will play against the Detroit Lions, of all people, who I cannot believe that any of us are picking the Lions to win this particular game. I think this is one of the few years we would ever do that, but I'm going to have to go with the Detroit Lions on this one.
For sure, for sure. I you know, Jeremiah, I got to get your take on this. Who you got? Green Bay Packers, Detroit Lions.
Well, I'm not choosing by colors, but I am making this a little personal. I have an ex-girlfriend named Tammy. She lives in Montana. And her family love Green Bay Packers, so I want them to lose. Yeah, I'm going to Detroit.
Take that, Tammy.
Man, he's taking this one.
That was a turn. Then you went with the heel turn on that one. That's great. I love it.
Wow.
He did have blue eyeshadow, though. Yes.
Too bad, Tammy. Well,
right. So just to put it out there, so Detroit Lions record on Thanksgiving. Right. The Lions have been hosting Thanksgiving games for 89 years, but not without controversy. Detroit held its first such matchup against the Chicago Bears in 1934 and has played on the holiday ever since 1945. The franchise has built a 37-44-2 record across its 82 Thanksgiving matchups, which are the most in league history. So at least they have a record there. So that's always a positive. In the beginning, the Lions routinely won most of their Thanksgiving contests. That has not been the case this century, though, as the Lions are 6-17 on Thanksgiving, dating back to 2000.
So, the gravy train is over.
Know, well, it would be, yes, but they get the Green Bay Packers, so that's a layup. If you really want the truth, but I will say Jordan Love played his best game about a week ago. So this could, any given Sunday, as the saying in the NFL,
It could be the turning of the tides. But I just don't think so. The Lions have way too many weapons this year. Here's the funny thing. I don't actually like watching games. I love watching the analysis of the games. So I'm an analysis person. I really don't even care about the games. I love the scientific aspect. And the Detroit Lions just outmatched the Packers on every single level you can this particular year.
Lion facing off against an actual Packer.
A Packer, yeah. If there was a guy packing boxes, the line came in, the Packer's going to run. That's really just how that works out. Yeah. Sorry, Tammy.
It brings me to the...
Oh, Montammy.
What is the Packers mascot? What is the Packers mascot? Does anyone... I have no idea, to be quite honest with you. I'll go ahead and...
I thought it was a block of cheese.
Actually, ironically, it's a guy who looks much like Jeremiah with a really red face wearing a coat. Packing boxes. A lot of people don't know. Little known fact, it's actually a very upset UPS worker. It's the Green Bay Packers mascot. You know,
a pink albino UPS worker.
That is a thing. It's not me.
This is making pink me think. Many years ago, I was invited to write and produce a song to pitch to be part of this big ad campaign that the Green Bay Packers were doing. And I guess there's a, like, for them, and maybe this is an all football, but I guess in Green Bay, they take the tailgating super, super seriously. So they wanted songs that really focused on tailgating. And I wrote a song and produced it with John Auer of the Posies. Called Tailgate Party. It's all about my tailgate party. And they hated it. They thought I was making fun of them. But it was very, but I wasn't making fun. I learned all about the lingo around tailgating in Green
Andras,
Bay.
I'm going to be honest. I only heard half a second of it, and it sounded like you were making fun of them. Literally right now, it sounded like you were making fun of them.
Okay, well, I was having fun with them. I wasn't making fun.
I understand. I understand.
In terms of, I guess, yeah, if you are just, but in singing, when you sing, you put on a voice. It wasn't, but obviously it was. If someone takes offense, it doesn't matter what my intent was. They felt made fun of. And so clearly you're queuing in to what they were seeing. So I take it. It's still, I'd love to share the song with you, Jeremiah. It's really fun.
Don't do an Al Jolson version. That's all I have to say.
That's what it sounded like. It sounded like it was you imitating what a parody of Garth Brooks singing a tailgate song for these people, particularly, and using the term those people. And I just don't think that it works. I can see how they could find it offensive.
You know, you're probably right. You know, I think justice was done. I did not get the gig.
I think we've just
clarified that everyone won in this situation. It was the right thing. The worst thing would be for me to have to, I mean, you're doing me a favor telling me this, but imagine if I had to hear this from a million angry Green Bay Packers fans. That would be miserable. Anyway,
well, yeah, I wouldn't be the opening act at the Thanksgiving. Oh no, that was the Lions. Never mind.
You know what? Honestly,
the Cheese Fest. The opening act at the Cheese Fest.
Flavor Flav just sang the national anthem. I mean, honestly, anything goes.
Anything goes.
Yeah,
that right there in itself is a feat. Here, we're gonna get off of Green Bay and Detroit. We're gonna move on to the Dallas Cowboys and their record on Thanksgiving Day. But I'm not getting a signal from the other window.
Yeah, sorry about that. I'm just poking you right now. Can you hold? Let's take another commercial break so we can all make a little money, or maybe me.
we can hold for a little bit.
Keep the lights on, everybody else, Jeremiah. Wants to hold.
What's that? Yeah, let's just take a quick break. By the way, we already played your song there, my friend Andras.
Oh, absolutely no sense of humor. Glad you dug it. If you did, I'm sorry if you didn't.
All right, so you're listening to, if you just tuned in, you're wondering what the hell is going on here. It's a very special Thanksgiving. A 9th annual Big Lou is back, and Corin Nimick, Tehran, Andras Jones, Camilla Cleese, she's here in spirit, and Arwen Lewis, and your host is Big Lou, and we're going to come right back and talk more Turkey Day football. Stay with us. Up, will ya? There is a lot going on here. Subscribe and always be in the know crowd.
Welcome back, everyone, to the 9th annual Jeremiah Thanksgiving Day show. I'm helping co-host the show today. It's me, the host of the Sports Lounge, Big Lou, hanging out with our panel of amazing people out there. And we just right before we cut the break, we were kind of giving the Detroit Lions, more so the Green Bay Packers, kind of an atomic wedgie, a punch in the face. And we're going to move off of those guys and move forward to the Dallas Cowboys, who have been a staple on Thanksgiving for quite a few years themselves. And the Cowboys' record on Thanksgiving, I'm just going to jump into it this way. The Cowboys have gone 32-22-1 on Thanksgiving since starting its holiday tradition in 1966. Their best Thanksgiving stretch came in the early 1980s, as they set a franchise record by winning 6 straight Turkey Day games from 1980 to 1985. The team has been just slightly better than the Lions on Thanksgiving in recent years, though. Dallas had lost 3 straight games before snapping their skid against the division rival New York Giants in 2022. They will face another NFC East foe in the Washington Commanders later today. And that brings us to, there was the movie that was made with, Jamie Foxx, LL Cool J, Al Pacino happens to play the head coach any given Sunday. And it's a very true statement in the NFL. Anything can happen on any given Sunday. So with that being said, I have to go back and I'm going to go back to where I started. Arwen.
Yeah.
I need your pick again. Because, I call myself a sports bettor, but I don't really bet a lot of money. I'll bet like $5 and then pick a whole bunch of teams and hope I get lucky. Haven't gotten lucky, but it's $5. I figure I would spend that much on buying my kids Robux to play that damn game on their phone. So that said, who are you taking in the Cowboy Commander game? The Commanders or the Cowboys?
I'm going to go with the Cowboys because I did get to meet Troy Aikman when he played for them. And I also am going to go with the Cowboys because of all their hard work, and they've worked really hard to set all these records, and because I play music in Austin, so and that's in Texas.
I love how you choose.
Fair enough. You know, real quick, I have to ask, if you had the opportunity, would you love that opportunity to play at halftime of a Cowboys game in that new stadium? That is absolutely amazing. I've never been. I've heard nothing but great things. I think it has one of the biggest TV screens or jumbotrons in the history of sports. Would that be a venue that you would really like to share your talents? Or yeah. Is there one bigger that you would really like to perform at?
I mean, that would be really fun because, I mean, though I'm not like a sports expert, like my brother played football in high school and he was an athlete for baseball in college and almost went pro too. So yeah, I would love to combine sports and music because I feel like there's so much soul involved in all of it, you know, and everybody is excited for so many different reasons at a sports event. And then, I mean, if there was a second choice, I'd love to play at the Ryman in Nashville because it's such a beautiful historic building and that's supposed to have really good sound too.
Amazing. You know, I will say I used to be a musician at one point and then I just kind of fell away from it. I was more of a percussionist. I started playing drums when I was very, very young and then graduated into playing the alto saxophone. And then some people really heard me playing the saxophone and thus my music career ended. that said, Corin, what about you? Who you got in this game, the Cowboys or the Commanders?
Well, before I get into that, your saxophone story, you know, I thought of myself as a cornet connoisseur when I was in my youth and in fifth, sixth grade. And I practiced my heart out. And when we got to the big show for the family and everybody else, the teacher came over to me and asked me if I would mime my part of the trumpet playing along with the other trumpeters just so I didn't screw it up. And I was like, oh, bah humbug. I'm curmudgeoned about playing the cornet, which is like a small trumpet. I gave it up.
I like that play on the curmudgeon. I like that part. That's good.
But as far as the teams go, you know, again, it's not, I honestly don't even know where the Commanders came from or who they changed over to or from or anything. You know, all the way the new teams are now and everything, I'm a little confused about who they were originally or if it's a new franchise or something. So I'm not sure who the Commanders are from history. You know, my history in football stops around the early mid 90s. So if they didn't exist then, I'm not that familiar with them. But I've never been a fan of the Cowboys. Oh, and have
they existed. They them. Existed. So,
did they? The Commanders did.
No one wants to say it. I don't feel like we can all say it. They were the Native American team of the NFL
that
went by. I don't feel like you're even allowed to say it anymore. They just unmention it everywhere. So I'm not trying to get canceled.
Wait, but how much worse? Yeah, but how much worse is that to go from Redskins, which I know I saw a whole article. I read a whole article about it. Saw a whole little mini documentary about all of the Native Americans who are like, we want that name back. We want that name back. I don't know. I'm not really. Now I'm going to toss up. I'm going to have to go with the Cowboys over that just because, you know, because I feel like they shouldn't have changed their name because I would have chose Redskins over Cowboys any day because the Cowboys were such dicks to the Native American Indians. I would easily have chosen, but Commanders over Cowboys? How can I go there? I don't know. I hate the Cowboys.
Commanders is a Native American term. It's a Native American term and it's in honoring their term. But you know what, Corin? I just want to let everyone on the panel and listen. I'm not with that guy. I'm not with that guy. I don't know him. I'm not. He was like, yeah. And then the New York Jews, like, whoa, I didn't say any of this. I'm not picking any of these teams.
They would not. They wouldn't have a good record of wins. I can tell you that.
Yeah. Why aren't we calling them the Atlanta N-words? I'm not on this. I'm not about this. I'm not still with them.
Off the rails.
I'll just remind you all the name of my record is recognized de-escalate and decode. And de-escalation is kind of my bag this year. So let me try and de-escalate this just a little bit. I have my own controversial take on why there's a football team that I am supporting. I also did not know who the Commanders were, but I got to say, November Dallas, 60 years after, nothing good's going to happen. Nothing's good. You watch a different game. Or
one president gets shot. One president gets shot, and we are against Dallas forever. You know, I'm just saying. And it's tailgating song.
I believe in like that places have an energy to them, and I believe that there are cycles in like that we are all part of. And you know, just for me, you know, Dallas and in November, it sounds problematic.
I believe it was a tailgater on the grassy knoll that actually was the shooter.
Big Lou
behind that fence in the parking lot.
Big Lou.
I think you're right.
This is the most hippy dippy sports show I've ever been a part of. I just want to let you know that people are picking teams based on the crystals. They're like, "Well, my crystal." I don't know what's going on here. I'm not. I don't
oh,
know.
No, if there was
Big Lou,
Magic
if this was a baseball podcast, I would be so furious.
Can we have it?
Oh my lord!
No, I just okay. Is it my turn to pick yet? Am I picking?
Yeah, actually, thoughtful, educated person on this topic.
It's not that. Honestly,
we have a listen.
Chill on this.
Arwin's found a magic eight ball. So after Teron gives us his piece of who he's taking, the Cowboys or the Commanders, we're gonna go to the magic eight ball and see what the magic eight ball has to say.
You know who I feel like right now? I feel like, remember the guy from The Princess Bride who kept saying inconceivable? I'm the inconceivable guy right now. Like the genius guy who's like, why is this happening right now? Like this is inconceivable. So here's the thing. The Cowboys are clearly they're the favorites. They are by all accounts, they should be the team. Even though I don't have as much faith in Dak Prescott as his team owners and the league does, because he's only good when he's winning and he doesn't really come through when he's not. That's one of the things I loved about Tom Brady. Is Tom Brady as the greatest of all time is not just it's not because he was the greatest actual skilled quarterback, but it's because he was able to make split second decisions and come back. He was the comeback kid. And if you don't believe me, just watch that drive in Atlanta, and you will never, ever, ever doubt him again. However, in this situation, the Commanders, you keep saying, Big Lou, you keep saying it's any given Sunday. This is on a Thursday. So, you know, on Thursdays.
I understand.
I'm not
an NFL matchup on any given day. Let me say it that
way. I'm not Corin here. I get what you're saying. But you bring it up. But on this Thursday, if anyone could beat the Cowboys on a Thanksgiving game, it is actually historically the Commanders. Not the Commanders by name, but the Commanders in spirit. They have a new spirit. They have a new owner. They have a new quarterback going in. They have a lot of new components. And even the games that they have lost, they've honestly lost by simple mistakes and not big mistakes. So if they play a really good game, they can actually beat the Prescott Cowboys, especially if they go up early, which is what their MO has been. So I'm going to go against the tide and just take the Commanders, even though it's not based on their 4-7 record versus the 7-3 Cowboys. It's based on the fact that it is any given Thursday in this case.
You know, one thing, and in terms of sports betting or the wise guys, right, there's always, whenever there is an NFL game scheduled, an NBA game scheduled, MLB game scheduled, there's always a trap game, right? And the Commander-Cowboy game could very well be one of those trap games.
100%. Right? Everything says Cowboys, by the way. They're playing at home. They're rushing into this game with the full steam momentum, and I agree 100% with Big Lou that this if there's going to be a trap game specifically this year, it's this, because no one's expecting the Commanders to win. No one.
And just to give a little bit more insight in what he was saying in terms of what the Commanders have been doing up to this point, they got some good pieces that have been inconsistent but have been coming out after it nonetheless. Sam Howell, who is their starting quarterback, is one of the most sacked quarterbacks in the NFL this year, but he has also put up some big numbers as well. So it's more of a matter of, we don't really know who we're going to get, but we're going to get a great game. That I can assure you guys. So be sure to tune in for our Thanksgiving Day football schedule. It's going to be amazing.
And another quick thing, and by the way, I'm actually from D.C., but another quick thing is the Commanders have been putting up numbers despite all their flaws. They've actually been keeping up in their losses. So, for example, when they lost to the Eagles, which the Eagles are, what, 8-1? I think they might have, and they won. Last night or on Monday night against
the
Chiefs. So they lost it, the Eagles by a touchdown. So it was 31-38 or whatever it was. The idea is that they're keeping up with the teams that they're playing. So they're actually in there, despite their loss to the Giants, which was the last week game, but. They are keeping up. So I think this would be the trap game that none of us would expect for them to come out and just win by a field goal.
They All right, do guys, play with up that, to the level of their competition.
With that, exactly. I got to take a break. Our last break. We're going to come back and say goodbye. But you got one more, right, Lou? One more game. We got 4 minutes. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back. And I'm here. By the way, this is we're going out on with the music here right now. This is Arwen Lewis. And it's Winter, the alt take. Yeah, so very, very cool.
It's a great song that doesn't make fun of or mock anybody who loves sports. I just want to point that out there.
It's a beautiful love story.
Perfect. Jeremiah? And,
yes.
Will there be any opportunity to just make a little mention of Guilt Fast, which is the thing I was hoping I could, I always like to promote when we're doing anything Thanksgiving wise. I can be quick about it, but
yeah, Lou, what do we got left on? Cause we got to wrap. We got 5 minutes left of radio airtime here.
We got the 49ers Seahawks game. And then wanted to talk about how everybody likes to spend their Thanksgiving and basically what are you thankful for this year?
All right, let's do that when we come back. We are here with Corin Nimick, Tehran, Andras Jones, Camilla Cleese is still on the plane, and Arwen Lewis, the host is Big Lou. Been a great hour, guys. We'll be right back. Here's Arwen Lewis, Winter, the alt take. Seven every time by advertising on the Jeremiah Show and get your message out on 7 shows. We're always on the radio.
Before the next great song plays, let's pause to consider all the people who work tirelessly to bring us the music we love. Music Cares is music's leading national charity that provides a safety net of support and crisis relief for the music community. Everyone from musicians to tour managers, sound engineers to designers can rely on Music Cares to provide emergency financial assistance and essential resources in times of need. Find out how you can help at musiccares.org. That's MUSICARES.org.
It's the good life, full of fun, seems to be the ideal. Yes, the good life lets you hide all the sadness you feel.
Hey everybody, we're back. We're back, and hopefully you have been stuck it in and tuned in with us the entire time. Man, the fireworks are amazing. Fireworks in November, that's a good time right there. Just want to talk one real quick. We have one more game just to kind of discuss. San Francisco 49ers will also be taking on the Seattle Seahawks. That's going to be the nightcap game for us. Again, 49ers are having an amazing season. Christian McCaffrey is having another record-breaking year, scoring touchdowns every week. He's still on a run with that. Every time he scores another touchdown, that just adds to his record. And it's here, so every week he does it, he's breaking his own record, which is kind of cool. The Seahawks, like what Geno Smith is doing, their defense has been kind of inconsistent, but it's going to be an interesting battle because I believe that game is taking place in Seattle, which is, you know, Seattle, it's known for the 12th man. So, you know, football is 11 on 11. Seattle kind of has an advantage because it's the 12th man. We'll actually see how that goes if you really pay attention. It's kind of 13 on 11 when you count the sidelines. But that's a whole nother conversation for another day. We're going to go ahead and ping pong this over to Andres. He has something that he wants to drop for us that he likes to do around Thanksgiving time. Andres, it's yours. Go for it, buddy.
Yeah, I just, first of all, to any football fans out there, clearly I'm one of the worst people you could have invited to be to help out with that portion of the show. So I apologize for that. But, we all do our best. For me, the part of Thanksgiving that I like to talk about is, like you referenced it, Big Lou, the digestion problems after having that big feast. For me, I believe that sort of Thanksgiving is actually a two-part holiday. The thanks has to come after a day of acknowledgement, which I call guilt fast, which has pissed off people for 20 years. But I'm a big believer in guilt as opposed to shame if you're actually guilty, which we all are. So I like to fast from sundown the night before till sundown the day of. And I'll tell you, every time I do that, then when I feast for my Thanksgiving from when the sun goes down, I digest much better. I feel better about myself. I try not to do it in the spirit of making other people feel bad or that they must participate in that. But I like to share it with people every year to know that this is one way to take some of the hypocritical edge off of what is otherwise a very wonderful holiday of thanks. And I am grateful to be here and to be able to share that with you. And now let me toss this to Jeremiah to toss it to whoever should be next.
Hey, Ron.
Hot potato.
Well, on Thanksgiving, I spend my entire Thanksgiving giving thanks at the Laugh Factory, where we feed the homeless and the food insecure the entire day from morning to night. So come out, be with us. And honestly, it doesn't even have to be in a situation where you don't have dinner. Sometimes you just don't have anywhere to go. Or more importantly, you have somewhere to go, but you'd rather be with us. We will all be at the Laugh Factory. We have fun. We have celebrities. We have stars. We have comedy. And we have a great time. So myself, Tiffany Haddish, Fraser Smith, the owner, Jamie Masada, always showing big love to the entire community. Dane Cook will be there. Go down the list, and everybody that you love, that you've watched, are going to be on stage, and we'd love to have you there with us.
That was great, man. What a great event. A great event. Corin.
Yo.
Who's your buddy?
How this do you speak Theodore, Thanksgiving?
This what is Theodore. Do you think?
Camilla showed up.
I'm
Theodora. I wasn't on board with that. I wasn't on board with that. I didn't say that.
I gotta poke her a little. It's a beautiful dog.
Corin, go ahead, Corin. Yes, what do you think? How do you spend your Thanksgiving?
I'm spending my Thanksgiving with some family and friends. My young pup, Theodore Corgivelt, the rough rider. And going to enjoy, the simple things, which is hard to enjoy nowadays. The more simple things I can have, the better off I am.
And that's the coolest way of saying you're going to be using meth that I've ever heard. I love that.
I have too
Are
many
we allowed to say that?
That?
Oh, I got canceled at the end after all. Oh my God. I tried not to get canceled this year.
You fell
no,
off.
No, you can call a white guy a meth head. It's okay. It won't cancel you.
Well, his name was Walter White. Like, they could have chosen any last name. They created the character. Like, they could have chosen any name for this guy. And they went with the on the nose.
Arwen, Walter.
Arwen, what about you, Arwen? How are you going to spend your Thanksgiving? What are you thankful for this year?
Well, I'm always thankful for my friends, family, and music. And I usually start it the night before and keep it going till, you know, Friday. And so Wednesday night, I'll be going over to Lost Chord Guitars and Solving to watch a little show. And the night before, my mom and I make Emeril Lagasse's squash soup recipe that's very tasty in the crock pot. And then usually we go to my brother's house in the morning. We all live in Solving, hang out with them. And then since me and my parents really just eat at my house in Solving, we're just going to make a turkey breast so we don't have too much turkey. And yeah, then Friday, I just go back to the club and play some more music and hang out with the friends and family, keeping it simple.
How about you, Big Lou?
You know, as I started earlier on the show, you know, I said it's been a real tough year for me with last year breaking my leg and losing a lot of work. It's hard to do security work and being a trainer when you're on one leg, literally. But, you know, I have found my way to get back on my feet. I can't run and chase anybody. So if I got a butt whooping coming, I'm just going to have to take it because I can't run away from you. And then, you know, not to be a Debbie Downer, but I did. I just recently lost my mom. So this will be my first Thanksgiving without my mother. So I'll be going to Vegas to spend Thanksgiving with my sister and my niece, who actually, you know, went above and beyond to take care of our mom for the last, you know, however many years before this time had come. So I'll be in Vegas with them, and I'm excited to have this time with them and reflect on the good things and the good times with what we had with mom and be with family. And then, you know, again, taking advantage of my favorite part, sitting around, eating a bunch of food, watch football, pass out, wake back up, and repeat. So that's what I'm thankful for friends and family. And, you know, I like to say, you know, my eyes open this morning so I can figure the rest out. So that part right there is pretty much what I'm going to be doing and, you know, trying to be with those that are close to me and close to my heart. And that's what I'm going to do for Thanksgiving.
Well,
what about you?
Well, we're going to miss you. I want to just say real quickly, we're going to miss your mother because she was always on this show every Thanksgiving with us, talking about the sweet potato pie, whether she's here. And I love, if you wouldn't mind, if we could dedicate this show to her today.
Mm-hmm. You know, she's listening. I'm sure she got a good laugh at the show. And, you know, she's always around. I know she's always with me. So I'm going to definitely, my sister just called me right now. So I'm gonna share with her about the show, and I'm sure she'll be excited to watch. She was always a big fan of the Sports Lounge as well. My mom was a huge fan of the Sports Lounge.
You listened to every show.
She didn't understand much what was going on, but she tried to listen and pay attention nonetheless. And so I'm very excited that's an honor to have this, you know, dedicated in her honor. So I definitely am grateful for that, Jeremiah, and appreciate that.
Tell us her name. Give us her full name, if you would.
Hazel Jones.
Saw a picture of her on your Instagram today. Beautiful woman and a very strong woman. We'll miss her, Big Lou. And thank you all for being here. Thank you. I really want to thank all of you for being here and spending the hour with us. It's been so much fun. And we're going to make a lot of people laugh on Thanksgiving, especially those that are watching. If they're betting on the games based on our commentary, you're in trouble. Let me just tell you real quick who we had today here, and I'll let you guys all go. Corin Nimick, to me, he's the definition of cool. He's an actor, producer, writer, and graffiti artist. Check out the YouTube channel. The graffiti is beautiful. Corin stood up for a few minutes there, and I got to check out his artwork without him sitting in front of it. He's my favorite character on Parker Lewis Can't Lose. His new movie is Dead Man's Hand, starring Corin Nimick, Jack Kilmer, Forey J. Smith, Cole Hauser, and Camille Collard. Basically, like I said, the cast of Yellowstone. So I'm there on Instagram. I'm Corin Nimick. Tehran, returning for the fourth year, our favorite Thanksgiving comedian and actor.
He's by the way, I might have made that up. I might have made up the fourth year, but I'm in it now.
Okay? I think you did. Let's just let you know.
Either way, I'm in it.
Yeah, always add a year if you can, for sure. You can find him at the Laugh Factory LA every Thursday at 10 p.m. Go to iamtehran.com and on Instagram at iamtehran. And on Thanksgiving, I think that's an amazing thing. Go down and help out and feed people that need food and don't have enough food to eat, and just be there on Thanksgiving for all of them and for everybody down there. Andras Jones, writer, actor, musician, producer, podcaster, radio 8-ball, The World Is Wrong, and he's a curmudgeon for all seasons. Go to previouslyyours.com and check out his latest single, No Sense of Humor.
Absolutely Andy. No sense of humor. Not just no sense of humor, absolutely no sense of humor, which is, it's okay to have no sense, but if you have absolutely no sense, then you're going to be a reactionary jerk like the comedian I wrote the song about.
Who's got no sense of humor now?
That's me.
Absolutely no sense of humor. And he'll be premiering his new album next year with us. He's also going to be in Santa Barbara in a couple of weeks at Lois Mahalia's Christmas show. Can't wait to check
And I
out.
Might play Tailgate Party.
Woo! Playing there too.
And Arlie Lewis, she's a singer, songwriter, and guitarist. And we heard her song Winter, the old version, on this episode. She's also a radio host of the Arwen Lewis Show. And of course, your host, Big Lou, host of the Sports Lounge, Big Lou and the CEO of Holy Fit 310. A lot of good people here today with doing a lot of good things. And I appreciate all of you. And happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving. Guilt Fest.
And goodbye. Have a good Thanksgiving, everybody.
Cheers, man.
But listen more and evolve.
This is comedian Maz Chobrani, and you are listening to The Jeremiah Show. Who's it, man?
Did you like our soundtrack? Find all of our soundtracks on Spotify. The Jeremiah Show. Look for the black label. As always, a big thanks to our station manager, Les Carroll, for letting us on the air at all. Listeners, we appreciate you and want to hear from you. Please send us your ideas at jeremiah@thejeremiahshow.com or on Messenger, on Facebook, or Instagram. The Jeremiah Show is produced by executive producer Jeremiah Higgins and me, your announcer, Tony Kelly. Communicate, listen more, and evolve.
My name's Danny Trejo. Jeremiah, you're loved, Holmes.
You're so cool. You're so cool. You're so cool.